Hi, Vinny.
Hello, Pamela.
So when I set the recording on, do you hear anything, or is it just quiet for you?
Music.
Oh, music. Oh, okay. Interesting. I had no idea. All right. So this is Pamela Cuccinell. I'm joined by Vinny, who's on the call, and we may or may not have some other guests on as well. But we are going to be talking about going into November of 2011 and what to look for as far as good times to maximize the energy and good times to lay low, depending on what's going on. So before I get too into it, Vinny, is there anything you noticed perhaps in the past month that seems like it was a big push, or do you have any questions on what was going on or what we've already talked about?
Well, I can't really speak off the top of my head to the universal aspects of it, myself, I've noticed a juxtaposition of, on the one side, a seeming influx of strong positive spiritual energy, and the other, and along with relative luck in dealing with stressful circumstances, and at the other side of the street, a lot of an increase, but this has been the predominant theme for me all year long, of stressful events. And
Okay, that's a good beginning, because, of course, in your case, you have a lot of strong cardinal energy in one of the things.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to mention, because you mentioned to me at one point that in October, I'd be getting off the cardinal course, which I'd actually been looking forward to, you know, thinking, you know, getting down from the course.
But, oh, yes, for we people.
Capricorn.
Aspect that has particularly grasped.
Yes, as a non-practicing but a mystic Catholic, of course, that had a deep subconscious emotional impact on me, and so. But I have a feeling that the only way I'm going to get down is to disappear from my physical body like Jesus did, you know. And kind of, you know, get into this. Well, anyway, I'm not going to go into that, but, yes, that's what I'm still kind of up there. And I'm not going to go into any of the details.
Well, it's a great allegory, and I thank you for that, because probably what I was referring to, and I'd have to look at your horoscope to be absolutely sure, but I was probably talking about the actual intensity of it was moving on. So either Pluto or Saturn, one of the pieces, was starting to move away from it. However, with a lot of the slower moving planets, it's not like it's this instant fix and suddenly we're off the cross and everything is like magically better. We're resurrected and moving on. But it is a process, but it is that kind of energy that really is one of the whole mystical lessons with Jesus' teaching, of course, that in many ways we have to suffer, let go, die, release. Pieces of things that we're very attached to in the material world in order to get to a point where our spirit does feel free and resurrected and more connected to the God energy or universal spirit or whatever vernacular a person wants to use.
Right.
And with one of the things I've been blogging about and also paying attention to is this whole Occupy Wall Street movement, which is just absolutely perfect for what's going on energetically with this cardinal cross, and the generation that has the biggest face on it are the young people of who were born when Pluto was in Scorpio or Pluto was in Sagittarius. However, there are people of many ages who feel very aligned with these young people and are giving them a lot of support. And as I have been talking about for a couple of years now, this is the difference in this particular movement. And it's Occupy Wall Street is just one nation and one scene. This movement actually is going to break out and become much bigger than what it is today and now. It's going to be international, cross borders. It's big. And the movement is stoked up by people of a certain age and supported by people of another age.
You mentioned that before. Actually, you called the shot in exactly that, with the young people sitting around the campfire and the using
that's
the Stygian
right.
symbol, and then
right.
supported by the older generations
right.
who empathize with them.
Right, right. And so you can see how it's beautifully unfolding. I mean, it doesn't mean that we aren't still going through tremendous resistance as the old guard holds fast to the way things have been. But to try to, I mean, what happens is with this kind of movement and revolution, and it is people like Ann Coulter pointing at the Occupy Wall Street and beyond people and claiming that they're like the French Revolution and they're going to try to take people over. I mean, I always find it amazing how revolution is just such a terrible word except for our founding fathers. That was like the one
right.
time when, mm-hmm. as though no blood was spilled and no
yeah.
mistakes were made.
Mm.
So this is a movement that stands to be very powerful and really very passive without that kind of bloodshed and difficulties, but which is even more scary for people in power, because when that kind of vast numbers come to gather, then they become a force that's unstoppable. And that's what we're starting to see. So that's one of the things that I see really like swelling and coming to. And for you as an individual, yes, you're going through your own process. You're feeling this very acutely and personally. And what always I say is that your individual process, whether you know, you're out there in the fray supporting the revolution or just working on your own inner spiritual revolution, everyone who is consciously working on being more whole and working on their own personal path is adding to the cycle of growth. And that's, you know, that's the best that most of us can do.
Right.
So at where we are now, we've just come off the full moon in Aries, which occurred yesterday. Where are we? Thursday. Yeah, which occurred on Tuesday. The full moon in Aries happened. And full moons are always culmination of energy. And I found this particular full moon was a real catalyst to getting into dialogue with another, especially someone who you've had some kind of difficulty or issue with. So that we're in the kind of space of that now. On Thursday, it's a completion cycle, and we're going through the finishing up period where any old business or things we want to tend to, especially in the area of a relationship or where there's been some kind of coming to head or something that needs a resolution or a different conversation, this is the time to, if you can't have that dialogue with the person, it's very powerful to enter into that dialogue, at least in your mind or with pen and paper. So that's what
that's very, very true. And it actually did exactly happen in myself. And the key, like never before, was sort of a revolutionary breakthrough. But it was putting love, whether spiritual love, as the first and main priority, and that just was the key for getting through the whole thing. I mean, love, of course, it embodies peace and passivity, as far as not being violent or angry or anything like that on emotional levels. But that is basically the essence of the revolution, whether that be internal or external. And in fact, that these people used to say are passive. I don't see any necessary conscious philosophical or spiritual energy emanating, but at least they know enough to at least most of them pick up their papers and be peaceful.
Right. Yes, absolutely. It's a disparate group of people, I've been told by anyone who's been down there. I haven't gone down myself for various reasons.
Right.
Most of them just life is way too
right.
But I have had peers and other people who I know have gone down there, and it's mixed stages. You have people who are drumming and doing yoga. You have people who are, it's just a whole band of characters, apparently, and people from all different walks and reasons for being there. But it's very, it's fascinating from an astrological perspective. But as I look ahead over the next couple of weeks, one of the things that I'm looking for, especially with anything that has to do with the bigger picture or with people who are dealing or grappling with this kind of cardinal energy that's still very much at work right now, is on the 19th. We're at the last quarter of the moon, and the moon is in the sign of Cancer that day. And it's a very challenging day for anyone who's involved in the Cardinal Cross or who's trying to work or have a conversation with someone who's in a position of power or dealing with some sort of legal or financial issue. So that's a day that I certainly would not recommend, like, meeting someone at the head of really pushing through this, but just know that your own personal demons or personal blocks, whatever they may be, may come up at that point in time. And so it's a good way for you to kind of assess and look at it and say, all right, better to handle it this way or that way, or I need to get clear of these feelings and emotions so that I'm looking at things with better perspective. And the quarter moons, whether they're applying, which is when the moon is moving from moon to full, or in this case separating when the moon is moving from full to new, the quarter moons are basically times when we may be experiencing sensations of frustration or friction, because what's happening is we're trying to come to terms with something emotionally, and the more aware we are of that, the more able we are to move through it. I heard something the other day that I found very valuable, and especially in terms of thinking about how to work with lunar energy. And that's when, for instance, as a mother, one of the first things I figured out was when my child did something bad or wrong, the last thing I wanted to say was bad girl or something like that, because that makes the child feel as though the child is bad. And, you know, this is a point of wisdom I've come
right.
to for my own journey.
mm-hmm.
But it's also just a real sense of awareness to teach the child that what the child is human energy, you know, actually a spiritual body and having a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is not bad, but that person can do something that is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've been thinking about that in application with any emotion, so like today, my daughter said to me, "You're angry." And I said, "No, I am not angry. I am feeling angry. I am Pamela, and I am your
very
mother."
Very good.
Right. But you see, that's
very good.
Huge realization, because once you start to see it in those terms, stop identifying with the emotion as being part of who you are. You see it as, this is something I'm moving through, whether it's a good thing, like I'm happy, or a thing that you're grappling with, like I'm lonely or I'm sad.
Well, it's more profound than you actually realize, because a lot of my studies is about the I am present.
Right, exactly.
You know? And when we preface anything with I am, it
right.
is so much more powerful than we realize. So to be extremely careful how we use that is great. It's great wisdom.
Absolutely, because as you say, the I am energy is, I mean, when you start to really think in terms of, and this is part of why this cross, this cardinal cross, is so incredibly powerful, because, and the way of thinking about it, of Christ on the cross, is really magnificent, Vinny, really, because it's so much talking about the God energy, again, whatever somebody wants to call it. And when we think of ourselves in terms of that, instead of turning that over to somebody else as though we're not responsible for it, but then again, we also can't take the entire responsibility ourselves. It's that whole duality. It's,
yes.
You can recognize that God is within you and you are a part of the God energy, but you cannot do the whole thing yourself.
That's it. And we have to invoke the help of the God energy, divine energy in the universe to help us deal with it, because we really don't have the personal power to do it. So
right. And when you waken that up, you can attract to you other people who are also carrying that or aware of it, whether consciously or unconsciously, and then it magnifies your effectiveness, because
mm-hmm.
suddenly you have a team of people who are helping you do whatever it is you're trying to do.
Which is so necessary these days, because it's team energy, not individuals anymore. It's that Aquarian vibration, I think.
Yes, it's the Aquarian vibration. It's also, ever since we entered the 2 millennium,
we are
more in the realm of the high priestess energy. So it's like we're not going back to the tribe, because that's, if you look at the whole evolutionary process as a spiral that's ascending, we're not going back to like tribal lifestyles, but it has to be integrating that kind of community tribe mentality with evolution spark, which was the one millennium, where it was all about
right.
an individual achieving genius and power. Now it's got to, the two pieces have to be integrated. So we're at this evolutionary leap, really. And if we don't do it, then I don't think we'll survive. So
actually, I had a reading with a clairvoyant psychic just this Saturday, and two of the goddesses that were present were Isis and Mary Magdalene.
Wow.
Both of whom are my favorites. And so that high priestess two energy is very important in this new paradigm.
Right, exactly. So when we have a day like the Moon in Cancer on October 19th, it's a day when it's about integrating that goddess energy, but it's not easy, because basically the more we trust that fluidity, easier it becomes, but we are battling with our logos, our logical mind and ego, which is not always comfortable, which is never comfortable, actually, with that kind of moving into the fluidity. And the more we do it and are able to integrate it, I think the easier it's going to become, but right now, for the next couple of years, it's tumultuous, and someone like you is actually really feeling it personally. That's your road. So just jumping a little ahead to get to November, I'm just going to mention again that the new moon is on the 26th, the new moon in Scorpio, one of my personal favorite new moons. Always a good time to really allow yourself the very deep parts of yourself, and always allow yourself time alone on that. Really, even though it wants to merge with the other, it wants to feel it's safe before it does that. So it's a very, very important time to make sure you have some reflection time within, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. So when we get through that new moon, which I talked about last time, so I'm not going to talk about it too in depth, but once we pass the first few days after it, as of the 29th, it's a much better, let's see, is that right? Right, the late morning of the 28th, rather, is a good time to start actually initiating projects. I wouldn't do it before then, because the moon is a little, sometimes when the new moon's first launched, it's the energy is uneven. So after the late morning of the 28th to the 31st, those are all good days for projects, new beginnings. And that just continues all that first week in October, November, very strong week for outreach, getting things done. November is, it's a month that begins with, another thing I quickly wanted to mention. We have still a few retrograde planets, which one of them will move in November, but right now we have Jupiter, Uranus, and Neptune are all retrograde. And especially because Neptune and Jupiter are retrograde, that's a really lovely time to make time for, as you were saying, meditation, prioritizing classes, and time to really get into deeply allowing yourself that sort of relationship with spirit. Because what ends up happening is when Neptune is retrograde, we have have a greater ability to get in touch with our spiritual life, as well as to see, quote, reality more clearly. Because when Neptune is direct, which it will go direct in, let's see, it's November 9th. When Neptune is direct, then we enter a period where things like feeling a sense of victimization or being in denial are easier to fall into because the energy is straight on. So now that it's retrograde, it's more of an opportunity to look at something and see, well, you know, why do I feel a sense of paralysis or inability to move forward with that? And why do I avoid looking at that the way perhaps I would be a healthier or feeling more linked to spirit way of looking at it? So it's a very rich time to deeply dive into all of that.
That's great what you said. And that's the way off the course, you know, using that time for meditation and using the spirit, that's right, trying to get it, spiritual energy to disassociate yourself with, and to ask those important questions too, why, you know, like also getting, pausing enough to get the answers. So that's beautiful.
Okay, yes, well, that's a Neptune-Jupiter retrograde response to it, but it's very good. It's a good way to be, because the other thing is that with Jupiter retrograde, we can have a tendency to feel like things aren't moving fast enough that we would like to have happen in a prosperity sense or a sense of abundance. And yet, if we go within to see what's in the well, you know, where...
Right.
Instead of looking for it from outer sources,
right,
where do we get it from within? Then we find out, you know, we have more than we thought, and more to put out once it goes direct again. So
that's great, Pamela. That's right. That's so true.
Okay. So then, so this the next few weeks, just know that that's a really thing for you to be doing. And as I said, when we get into the first few days of November, there's a lot of optimism, a lot of buzz, a lot of sense of I can do this, or let's get together. It's a lively time, and it continues that way until we get actually to that first weekend. And it's not like everything just crashes, but since there are a lot of long void of course moons, it's a period when it's, after all that activity and sort of outreach, it's good to, again, go back in, reassess, clear out, purge, because as the month goes on, demands in a way increase. So to finish up, especially before Neptune goes direct again, and really get your spiritual center like in a routine is a good thing to do. With the holidays coming up and all the other things that happen in late November, once the sun goes into Sagittarius, the more that you can put things into place beforehand, the more smoothly all that will go. Let's see. So I say, like daylight savings time, the end of that is actually November 6th, and I'm still writing a lot about wanting to be in a place where you allow yourself some flow to begin time, But once it gets into the afternoon, then the moon goes into the sign of Aries. So we're back into that kind of cardinal cross energy. However, at that point, once the moon goes into Aries, it is working more harmoniously in the long run with all the planets than with difficulty. So the moon in Aries isn't as full as when the moon is in Capricorn or Cancer. So you can get more of a sense of accomplishment and as though things are, you are working through things than when it's in the earth or the water cardinal sign. So even though the days in that first week of September, November, that week of the 7th, may feel a bit challenging, it still shouldn't feel overwhelming or energy depleting.
Right.
The full moon occurs on 10th of November, and that's the moon in Taurus. And I'm just looking to see what I... I talked about Neptune direct. Okay, this full moon is... Since it's in Taurus, it's the aspects or the way it's positioned. What I wrote was it can feel big, but it doesn't necessarily feel satisfying. So there's a sense that there's potential, but things feel thwarted or held back in some way. So it's very important with full moons that you always have a sense that you have completed something or that you feel as though something has culminated or something has come to an understanding. The full moon in Taurus is the moon is in opposition to the sun in Scorpio. So the areas of life is very much about finances and investments, among other things. Your body and your sense of how you're able to take care of long-range goals. So those concerns, and I think it's partly, yes, it's astrology, but astrology and what's going on in the planet are, they're in sympathy. So I'm sure a lot of this will have to do with whatever's going on in the markets and what people's feelings are as we approach the holidays, the full moon, the Congress continuing to do nothing about jobs as people have this time coming up, which is all supposed to be about celebration, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a challenged time. That being said, I think one of the kindest things a person can do for themselves is to, whatever your to-do list is or whatever the priorities are or things that you feel you must do, is to look at that list on that day and make a decision of what is leaving, what's going off. Not that you're going to get it done that day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to remove it so that it may not go away forever. It may be something that you have to do at some point in time. But just make a decision, which thing can you remove for a period of time so that you basically lessen your psychic yoke of what your responsibilities are, what you have to do. And it can be weighed with the consideration of the Taurus-Scorpio axis is, okay, is this something that is necessary for my health or for my financial well-being? If it's really not, but it's still something I feel I should do or I must do or I want to do, but it's more of a albatross than something I'm looking forward to, just cross it off, put it away, take it off your list. So the Sabian symbols for that day are the moon symbol is a newly formed continent, and the sun is a parrot listening and then talking. So when I was thinking of those images, I was also looking at the horoscope, and one of the things that's very obvious about the horoscope is it shows a challenging configuration to the planet Neptune. And as I said, Neptune has just gone direct at this point. And so we are entering into, at that point, more of a period where the powers that be or an individual can obfuscate or not see or be in a sense of denial of whatever the realities may be. So the pictures that I visualize, thinking about a newly formed continent and a parrot listening and then talking, is on one hand, I could see that as being a scary image when you think about how the continents were originally formed, either because there was a polar shift or earthquakes or an asteroid fell and crashed in or whatever. Or I could start to think, well, you know, maybe it's more, if I see it in symbolic terms, like Atlantis rising, or the sense that there's a terra firma about a new way of seeing or forging things. When I think about the parrot, a parrot is stereotypically thought of as someone who just hears information and then repeats it without any interpretation or awareness of how it may be heard. However, anyone who's ever owned a parrot or been familiar with a parrot knows that they're actually very intelligent creatures, and how wise they are with the use of the language and when they parrot it has more to do with the person they learn it from and have conversation with than the actual lack of awareness in the bird. So it seems to speak to me a lot about, especially as we're at this friction full moon, and a full moon that doesn't feel all juicy and flowing is a full moon that's more like pregnancy, where the woman's about to give birth, she's incredibly uncomfortable, and yet there's no other choice. So that's what this mid-November feels like to me. It's the question about what is it that is in alignment with the Taurus full moon. So Taurus is all about the earth, love of the earth, our connection with our bodies, our relationship with our bodies, how we value our bodies, how we value the earth. And Scorpio is all about the merger or the higher goals with looking at how this all works in a big ecological like infinity sign, lemon scans. How does this all work? How, if I give you garbage, what do you make out of it? Or what do you create out of it? If I give you money, what do you create out of it? If I give you gold or pumpkins, what do you create out of it? So it's this reciprocal relationship that me is the two images. One, the new continent rising, which dovetails with Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth. And then the other is the concept of a parrot. Are people listening and getting information from intelligent sources, or are they just repeating things they've heard with no real knowledge of its depth? So,
You just gave us two Sabian symbols, very interesting, and a new moon giving birth difficultly, but necessarily. And to me, I mean, you think you've almost touched on it with your paraphrasing, but it's the new continent is actually the new America, the new America that you know, post founding fathers revolution, with the America of the Constitution, of the highest ideals, of the spiritual America that we really need to embrace. And it's the only thing that's going to take us out of this miasma that we're in. And the parrot, whether it be intelligent or simply just parroting, but hopefully intelligently, is accurately channeling this the information that would support and create this this new continent, newly formed. I was just reading about Columbus when he discovered America. Actually, it was he was going more on if you go back to his original writings on prophecy. He went accessed the Bible at that time to get clues. And that whole idea of the purpose of America, the higher destiny of America, which started in Columbus, who was actually channeling, he thought of himself as a channel of God, is pregnant in these beautiful Sabian symbols.
Wow, that's wild about Columbus. And, you know, it's interesting you're talking about the founding fathers and everything, because one of the last things I wrote as I was thinking about this whole new continent and new world is I quoted Thomas Paine. This is one of my father's favorite quotes: lead, follow, or get out of the way. And that's really where it feels like we're at when we get to this point in mid-November, where it's becoming so big and so uncomfortable and unwieldy,
right,
that the more you try to hold it, the less one will be able to. So it's important to... That's why I said to look at your list of things and see what is it, you know, that I don't want to do or I can't do right now, because I really have to focus or create the most important thing on that list, or the most important thing on that list.
That's a great idea.
And that's actually,
I love it.
Well, in general, a really good thing to do on a full moon. This particular one, it's like...
Yeah, I was going to ask you whether we could start crossing out now. We have to wait until November.
No, you can. Why not? Absolutely. Because we just passed, actually, this full moon in Aries, and I've been doing these full moon workshops, and that's one of the things I always remind people. Just get something off your list, because it's not serving you. It's not helping you. You think that it is, but it's really not.
Mm.
and especially this crazy world we live in, which is like multitask central,
right.
Focus is just, it's an art form that people are forgetting. And to go back to the lunar cycle and really see it in those terms allows us this kind of this synchronistic focus, because as we get in the rhythms with the moon, everything starts to make more sense with how things are happening. It's not like life works perfectly, but it does have a sense and a logic to it.
It does. That seems great.
Right. Okay. So then, just glancing, I'll send out the day-to-day piece in the next 24 hours and just cleaning up some final edits. But the other thing I want to talk about is right, the 16th is a day where there could be a lot of excitability and things happening very quickly, so it's important to pace yourself on that day. Although it's a very juicy day where a lot of ideas or stimulus comes through that with a Mars-Jupiter picture in the sky, so it can be very delicious in many ways, but it can also be a distraction or a something that can pull you off track. So you have to really decide, is it worth, for instance, going out all night and dancing until 2 a.m., is the next day worth the results of that? Or is it really something that you must do? And, of course, depending on your age, you may decide that's something that is worth the piper to be paid. There are some really fun days in November, in spite of days where it feels heavier. And the weekend of the 19th is a good day for productivity, focus, spending time, taking care, and putting things in place, which again is really good to do before we get into the holidays, which once they start are going to be rather challenging this year, because there's a lot of heaviness but also confrontational pieces to it. So it doesn't mean that people are going to have a lot of confrontations with people around the dinner table necessarily, but there will be things that come up and must be faced or addressed. So it's not the sleepy time that it can be certain years where people just are kind of partying and doing whatever they're doing. It's like business goes on hold for weeks. It doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like there'll still be a lot going on in the world that pulls us back into awareness of a bigger frame. There are some really good productive days, and especially when we get to 21st, it's a wonderful day actually for litigation, conversations, anything that has to do with anything contractual. The 22nd is very similar, even like more of forging alliances and things that are really like people just really wanting to meet one another eye to eye and make things happen. The interesting thing is that's right before Thanksgiving, the U.S. Thanksgiving. So it's, I don't know how much that will be going on in a business capacity, even though it looks as though it could be, just because, again, the United States tends to close down that day. But even people might be networking or getting involved in conversations on a social aspect that then would lead to more prosperity or advantageous relationships coming off of that. The United States Thanksgiving is a rather intense day because it's got the moon in Scorpio most of the day. It moves into Sagittarius in the later evening. So with a Scorpio moon on Thanksgiving, I really recommend that you spend time with people whose company you really enjoy and to do your major eating and drinking in the earlier part of the day, because when the sun moves into Sagittarius later in the day, people can get very convivial and very into the party and just may not make good decisions insofar as their digestion or intake. So it's better to, by that point in the day, if you're going to still be out with people and enjoying yourself, make sure you're drinking plenty of water. Mercury also, talking about water, excuse me. Mercury goes retrograde that day as well in the pre-dawn. So if you're going anywhere, make sure that you know where you're going, that you've got the correct address and you know the correct time, and leave plenty of time to get there. The solar eclipse new moon occurs on November 25th, and I think it's a very exciting day. It's traditionally called Black Friday because it's a big shopping day. I don't know that it's that's how it's going to pan out, although I would suppose there will be people who will be out shopping doing that sort of thing. It is a very energetic day. It's got some very lovely configurations in the sky that bode well for people wanting to reach out to one another, although it's also got adversarial aspects to it that show like lines in the sand or people just making very clear boundaries. Not necessarily a bad thing, just something that is to be noted depending on what you want to start for that particular new moon. Moon in Sagittarius is always a good time to look at what sort of enterprise you want to embark on for that particular year. So the year being late November until the next late November. That's the lunar kind of return of the Sagittarius energy. But you also look at it in terms of that particular month, about what it is you might want to focus on in Sagittarius's realm of life, which has to do with anything that's got legal matters to it, anything that involves a sense of justice, anything that's about global outreach or relationships with someone from another country, anything that's about higher education, anything that's about selling or teaching someone about a product or making those kind of connections. Those are all very strong, Sagittarius, as is connection to the natural world. That's a very Sagittarian energetic cord. It's especially big this particular year because the North Node is also in Sagittarius. So it has a sense of, if I don't do it now, I don't know when I'm going to do it. So for some people, it may be they think, oh, let me go back to school for XYZ. Other people may think, well, you know, I've been toying with this concept. Now's a really good time to get it off the drawing board and get it into trying to actually sell it. Maybe for another person, it's I've always wanted to travel to Greece. Well, I don't know if Greece is the first country people would think of now, but it might be. All those things, or a certain legal action or contract that it's important to put into being. These are good times to start to sketch that out and see what that would look like. So that's what this moon is talking about energetically. And because of the other things going on in it, it seems to speak a lot about a greater sense of self-knowing through the process. So whatever the concept or idea is, whatever may be holding you back to bring it into actualization, it's starting a dialogue with that piece of self that may have been hesitant or unwilling to move in that direction. And the Sabian symbol for this degree is two men playing chess. So the first thing that popped into my head when I saw this, thinking about this particular new moon, is Ingmar Bergman's movie where the soldier plays chess with death, because it's that kind of very loaded imagery that feels like it's now or never, almost.
That's so strange. If just one thing I was thinking of crossing off my list at that time was making out my will, but my brother, who's the doctor, wants very strongly to say he's going to be the executor for me to do that, because I might die over the winter time, ha ha. But at the same time, that entering into a legal contract of something, you know, that just it might be the time to do it. So I got both sides of it, you know, and the image of the soldier playing chess with death was kind of like perfect for that quandary.
Well, I would say that maybe you want to cross it off your list for the full moon, and then work on it starting the new moon.
Yeah, sketching it out.
November, because then if you've kind of given yourself the grace to say, I'm not going to do this right now. You know, I'm going to do this when I feel energetically poised to crank it out.
Right.
And then you'll probably be in a better position to push through it very quickly. Whereas right now you're not the one who wants to do this.
Right.
So
that's great, Pam. That's right.
Well, thank you for offering that information, because I'm sure anybody who hears this afterwards, it's a wonderful way to have taken the information and reviewed it and said, you know, this is a better way to do it.
Mm.
And I can see you as that soldier and
right.
Playing that game.
I play games like that, you know. A lot of people play other types of games, and I go walking off into the cemetery and play a game over there, you know, and leave the salubrious Sibiatic nymphs to frolic on their own, you know. Anyway, that's me to hear.
Yes, well, you really are feeling that cross, that's for sure. So to just finish up with November, especially in keeping in mind what we just talked about, when we get to that new moon, which is also a solar eclipse, so it's very, very intense, and opens that kind of window where you see things very clearly, briefly, but you see them very clearly. So it's that can be a good resolution time, a good time to move forward with an idea or a concept. And also, just unlike the new moon in Scorpio, which precedes it, when I said that a few days afterwards it's a little on the rocky side, with this particular new moon in Sagittarius, it's the reverse. Things flow. So the day of that new moon eclipse, even though that's very volatile energy, usually we don't recommend you start anything really important on that day or deliver it on that day, but you can certainly start to draft something out or conceptualize something. But the next day, the 26th, and then going into, I would pass on the 27th to 28th, but then when we get to the 29th, 30th, those are, again, really strong days to move quickly through things that you want to get done. The other thing about the 26th is that there's a tie between Venus and Uranus. So that's always a kind of wild card combination about unexpected events with people you might find attractive or with situations with money. So you could get some inspired thoughts on what you might want to do with money, or what you might want to do with someone who you meet that particular day. But it's a very spontaneous, not necessarily lasting, but it tends to be a rather stimulating period of time, and that would be going on through that particular weekend. So I would say, well, especially keeping in mind that it's Thanksgiving weekend, I don't think any business will really get done much before the 29th anyway. And once we get into the 29th, 30th, that's a much better point in time to let things unfold that have actual financial or or whatever the outcome may be from decisions you made. So that's November. Any questions? And I thank you again for your input.
Now, the only question I have is Scorpio moon on the 28th of October. You said it was rocky, but you also mentioned it was good for new beginnings.
Yes. Yes, oh, good point. Right, the glance again at what I was saying. Right. The Scorpio new moon itself, which happens on the 26th, that's the rocky period, the 26th, 27th. By the time we get to the 28th, once the moon has entered the sign of Sagittarius in the late morning.
Oh, I see.
That's it. I thank you for making me clarify it. Then you enter a period where, yes, it is a auspicious good time to begin something. So the 28th, the 29th, very good days for that, actually, as is the 30th and Halloween.
Oh, thank you for clarifying it.
Thank you for asking. Okay, so I guess we're about finished. I'm just going to turn off the recording, and then I'll come back to say goodbye. Hold on.
Okay.